Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Yasmeen Mohammed, Head of International Arbitration at Vannon Capital. Yasmeen advises clients on third-party funding globally and manages Vannon's team of managing directors focused on international arbitration. Yasmeen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, John. It's lovely to speak to you.
So you recently co-authored a pair of stories for Vannon's latest Funding and Focus series. Let's begin with the story on international arbitration. So you noted that some institutions are being proactive when it comes to assisting parties on funding matters, while others are adopting a wait-and-see approach. So can you elaborate here? Which institutions are making the most headway in terms of proactivity, and which are relying on the wait-and-see model?
Sure. As you have noted in the article that I actually co-authored with the rest of the arbitration team. So basically, we interviewed the heads of the institutions of the ICC, LCIA, SIAC, IHKAC, so ICSID. So we really went broadly around the globe to try to see what was their thinking and how were they thinking ahead in terms of third party funding, and for all of them, the issue that they have is that they know funding is taking place, and they are very acutely aware of the tensions that it can give rise to in terms of disclosure, and they don't want to interfere in a situation where a funder is obviously not a party to the dispute. So they don't want to have an outreach that goes beyond their powers, but they want to be in a position to put parties in a more comfortable position in terms of disclosure of the conflicts of interest. So what we've seen, which is, reasonable and logical, is that the institutions that are in jurisdictions that have taken a proactive approach in terms of regulation, which are the Asian ones, really, Singapore and Hong Kong, are the ones who are also taking a very proactive approach in terms of funding. I mean, one of the institutions, I can't name it yet because they haven't announced it, is now looking into actually giving guidelines to their potential clients in the ways to choose funders and to things to look out for in a way that's very similar to the way that the Asian jurisdictions, Singapore and Hong Kong, have really taken to more regulating funding in the way that the other jurisdictions haven't.
In the article, you mentioned that, and I'll quote here, arbitral institutions are above all neutral entities with an overarching interest in safeguarding the rule of law. So given that framing, is there anything that funders can do now to help sway the institutions around issues of disclosure or even confidentiality, security for costs?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the position that we're taking, and it's more than a position, it's where we're actively interacting with institutions to do the first thing that's important is to give them real insight into what it is that we do and how we do it. Because you know this better than anybody, but until a couple of years ago, third party funding was still cloaked under this sort of, unknown and slightly untrustworthy cape. And that this has changed considerably, but it also, the change is also coming from funders being very upfront about how they're dealing with non-disclosure agreements, how they're dealing with confidentiality of the information they have, what are they, what are their stance on security for costs, how do they deal with conflicts, do they check conflicts, how do they check conflicts. We interact in a very proactive way with the institutions to explain to them the way that we work, because, it comes down to something that's actually very basic, is that, in the same way that in the legal industry you have good lawyers and ethical lawyers and less good lawyers and less ethical lawyers, well, it's the same thing in the funding industry. So, the way that we're trying to help the institutions is for them to be alive to what makes a professional funder and very well aware of sort of the impediments to investment in their jurisdictions, whether they are through third-party funding or any other sort of investment, because at the end of the day, we're just another, private equity investor. Our investment is in the legal system, but it could be in, a new telephone company. So knowing that this impediment does exist, the Middle Eastern countries are taking serious steps in order to create legal certainty and to create more predictability for investors and funders alike.
And yeah, you mentioned the UAE. They're obviously leading the way here. They've enacted a standalone arbitration law last year. What can you tell us about that law and its impact on the funding environment?
The law has basically come to crystallize an existing situation, right? So although the UAE is itself sort of civil law based, so created by law as opposed to jurisprudence, in fact, the way it's been developing is the other way around. The UAE courts have been acting mostly, except for some, you know, couple of bizarre examples, but have been acting in a very arbitration friendly manner, both onshore and offshore. Offshore, obviously, the DIC and the Abu Dhabi equivalent have been very arbitration friendly, have put in place very, you know, the DIC LCA, for instance, has a center in the heart of the DIC in Dubai. And onshore as well, there's been a significant effort by the UAE government to educate the judges on arbitration, international arbitration, the New York Convention that the UAE has been party to now for a number of years. So there has been significant steps that have been taken. Now, unfortunately, once in a while, there is a step back that's taken, which makes the headlines, you know, a decision that comes out that's not favorable, usually for the lack of understanding of the judge. But I don't know if you've noticed, but usually the UAE corrects that mistake relatively quickly and then gets back on track. So, you know, I certainly personally have a lot of faith in the upward trend in the UAE.
Okay, great. I love the optimism. There was some more optimism in your article, which is around my final question around the Arab Spring. You mentioned that there appears to be an increase in commercial arbitration in the aftermath of the Arab Spring, which makes sense. That said, you sort of tempered your optimism a little bit with this quote: "The level of confidence that parties have in the arbitration process and the enforceability of any resulting award is likely to be an important factor in whether disputes arising from the Arab Spring progress to formal arbitration proceedings." So what's your feeling on how this will play out? Do you see increased litigation leading to formal arbitration here? And will those awards be enforceable over the long run?
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily going to be an increase in litigation, but I think both parties are going straight to arbitration because that's what they had initially in their contracts. You know, whether it turns out to be a sort of bilateral investment treaty dispute or whether it's a contractual dispute is really what's at stake here. You know, when a lawyer, the way the lawyer really should, you know, the first thing that they should do when they look at a case is figure out, you know, despite the really strong legal aspects of dispute, you know, whether the client is going to be in a position to enforce it at all. So when you're in a situation where your respondent is illiquid or with an asset or with no assets or you don't really have a respondent that you can sue, then it makes a very difficult investment opportunity for a funder to consider seriously. So as things are developing since the Arab Spring, it's been some time now since 2012, we've been seeing, for instance, countries like Egypt, who've taken a very structured step towards making sure that the investors that have been actually wronged can be compensated. So they've set up a commission that is empowered to review arbitration awards that are rendered against Egypt and to determine payments and to basically authorize payments. Because probably the main problem in disputes against the sovereign entity usually is that it's very difficult to find somebody in power that's willing to take the political responsibility of settling or paying on an award. And so those steps are being taken now in countries that have suffered the consequences of the Arab Spring. So it's mostly optimism because we've seen, you know, countries with, you know, a significant amount of arbitrations like Egypt take really concrete steps. And then there is a bit of, you know, wait and see.
Seems to be the theme for today. A little bit of proactivity mixed with a little bit of wait and see approach. So we'll see what pans out in the end. But we really appreciate you coming on here and sharing your thoughts on both of these subjects.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, and if you're interested in what Yasmin is up to and what Vannen Capital is up to, you can visit them at their website, www.vannen.com. You can also find the latest Funding and Focus edition there, which I highly recommend. It's a biannual series. It covers a lot, a broad scope of the industry, and there's some real depth there too, so I highly recommend it. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next time. We'll see you next time on the Litigation Finance Podcast.